Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with John Kaminsky, senior fellow at the IBM Center for the Business of Government and author of The IBM Center Report, Cross-Agency Collaboration, a Case Study of Cross-Agency Priority Goals. I'm Michael Keegan, your host. So, John, what was the process you used to develop the first round of CAP goals, and what selection criteria was used in 2013?
Well, that was actually kind of interesting because there were some predecessor pilot goals that had been selected early on when the new law had been passed. But the first full set of goals was at the beginning of the second term. And they were developed during the summer of 2013. And at that point, the director of OMB was new. The deputy director for OMB had just been named but wasn't kind of in place yet. And so this was actually a career-led thing in good part. And so it was OMB career staff that was sort of the behind getting this thing off the ground. That summer of 2013, the president had a cabinet meeting and announced this as something that they were going to create a management agenda. And there was this like this scramble to do something. And the new director of OMB wanted to, you know, move this along. And the Office of Science and Technology Policy actually was one of the sponsors for getting this thing moving along with OMB. Steve Van Roekel, who at the time was the federal chief information officer, was also the acting deputy director for management. So this was sort of an interesting time in that it was a transition between leaders, and the new incoming leaders weren't quite there, and the people that were there began to tee up ideas and stuff. Talking with some people that were in these brainstorming session, they were doing stickies on the wall and moving things around and trying to decide what is it that the administration wanted to be able to say, these are our big ideas or big goals that we want to ensure is achieved by the end of the second term.
So, John, you in your report make some conclusions about the early operations of the CAP goals. Can you elaborate on those?
Sure. First of all, the selection process and the criteria used to select what would be the criteria or the CAP goals is a really important thing to do that, because if you pick the wrong kinds of things, you may not get action. If you get things that aren't mature enough to be able to actually stuff because the policy's not in place, or something that is contentious and you won't get funded by Congress or something like that. So the selection and process and criteria are important. And it's largely, oftentimes, of little interest to the political leaders as to what some of these are. So you have to sort of make sure that you don't pick things that they're going to say, I don't want to spend time in meetings on progress reports. So you got to pick something that captures their imagination. That's the first. The second is that in the first round of CAP goals in the pilot phase, they designated an individual to be the lead. And they found that it was important to have two leads, co-leads, one that was out of the White House, whether it was OMB or White House staff or White House policy councils, and someone from an agency, so that there was actual connection to the real works. So you didn't have a policy person to lead something that has an implementation component to it. So this joint leadership, oftentimes it was a deputy secretary that was designated as a co-lead on many of these goals. The other thing that they found out is that you need to have some sort of capacity to be able to do something. You need to have some staff to turn to. And that was something that, again, as I mentioned earlier, there wasn't funding until 2016 for a number of these goals, but some of them had people that were working on these, and that those that had full-time staff dedicated to them were able to make far more progress than those where it was an additional duty as assigned. This notion of having some sort of overall ownership of the mission focus goals was a bit of a challenge, in that OMB and the President's Management Council were able to ensure there was cohesive progress around the mission support goals, but there wasn't somebody that was the champion for mission delivery goals. OMB would have to go ask people to do stuff. And if you're, you know, one of the
goalies, for example, was assistant chief of staff of the White House. So you can't – they weren't in a position to be able to say, you need to turn this report in or something like that. So while they were doing stuff, it wasn't able – they weren't able to get some sort of cohesive direction over the mission delivery goals that were in the first round.
So as you point out, I mean, none of this would be possible without teams of people. And so the next question I was really wanted to talk about was how did the agencies effectively collaborate on the CAP goals, and what were some of the elements that went into the effectiveness of these teams?
Well, first of all, it's important to have some authority to act. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned earlier, there were laws that tied this stuff together, but also executive orders. So you needed to have, for example, in the people and culture goal, the one of the elements was to streamline hiring authority. There was a presidential directive to help bolster that, so they weren't on their own. In the goal that looked at streamlining the infrastructure process, there was an executive order. Subsequently, there was a law that reinforced that. So to the extent that there was authority to act so that the goal leader had somebody to something to work from. The other was having a goal leader that was more than just other duties as assigned. And that's where having a joint goal leader and having the ability to have a full-time career person to help run the thing made a difference. Examples like Ann Rung, who was the head of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, she was the champion for the category management cross-agency priority goal, and she really ran forward with that. The other was Dave Mader, who was the controller at the Office of Management and Budget. He really ran forward with the shared services cross-agency priority goal. So, and in the case of Carolyn Colvin, who was the acting commissioner of Social Security, she was the champion for the customer service goal. So where you have goal leaders that invest time and work and have a staff support, you really get a lot more progress on doing that. So those are some of the things that are really important.
You touched on this earlier, but I want to put a finer point on it. Is what happened or what happens when a CAP goal matures?
Well, when a CAP goal But that's sort of a qualitative thing is when it matures. But what the OMB thinks is that at some point it's not appropriate to continue the next round. So if it was a four-year round, do you do it for 8 years? Do you do it for 12 years? At some point you just say, let's pause on having this designated as a cross-agency priority goal. Continue the network, continue the work, just we're going to designate something else as a cross-agency priority goal. And that will be interesting to see how the Trump administration's next round of cross-agency priority goals evolves, as to whether there's much overlap or whether it's completely different. And we don't know yet.
What has been the impact of the initial CAP goals? We'll explore this question and so much more when the special edition of the Business of Government Hour returns.